to order. Could we have a roll call, please?
Bill Goggins.
Here.
Laura Hine. John Kepler.
Here.
Kathleen McMonagle. Betsy Pringle.
Here.
Elsie Weber.
Here.
Rick Whitney.
Here. Okay, our agenda tonight, we have minutes to review and approve, council member reports, work program review, audience participation, transportation conversation, special presentation, and then we have unfinished business on the tree regs, follow-up from the joint meeting with city council, and then new business reviewing the city-initiated amendments to the comp plan and zoning map. So with that, would anybody like to start by saying or proposing that we do not read the minutes and simply review and approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, great. So starting with December 14th minutes. Any additions, corrections? Going once. Going twice.
It's too long ago to remember.
I personally didn't see anything there that looked out of order.
No.
So would someone like to make a motion to approve those minutes?
I move we approve the minutes of December 14th, 2009.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All right, it's moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? All right. January 25th. Any additions, corrections? Again, it looked good to me. How about a motion?
Move to approve the minutes from January 25th.
Good. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. February 4th. Anyone care to make a motion on this?
I'll move. Yeah, go ahead.
I move we approve the minutes of February 4th, 2010.
Very well. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. All in favor of approving the February 4th minutes, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. And with that, do we have council member reports or comments? Any talk about our neighborhood planning process updates?
It's going great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You've had a meeting since the last time we talked about it, have you?
We've had at least one, right?
One.
It was one day after our regular.
Right, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. You know, went well. Everything's proceeding as.
We have a very, very involved group, and some exciting things are coming out of it. So.
Good.
Yes, very good.
Right. And for the Lakeview side, I unfortunately was missing for that meeting, so I don't have a report.
Ooh, who chaired the meeting?
I did.
Elsie, okay, tell us about it.
It was excellent. Things are coming along just fine.
Okay.
And a lot of good ideas. And at the rate we're going, we'll have something done in a couple of months that will be acceptable to all.
Okay. So you're all feeling well, good about the way it's progressing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Any other council member reports or and let the record note that Laura Hine has joined us. any other council member reports or comments? Okay. Work program review. Nancy, do you have something on that? No? Okay. So at this point, if we have anybody in the audience who would like to speak, let's hear it. Give us your name and address.
Hello, everybody. Georgine Foster, 451-702nd Lane, Northeast.
Okay.
This will be really easy. Wednesday, the Transportation Commission is having a meeting. And at that meeting, there will be presentation by maybe Sound Transit, but Eastside Trail Advocates, Cascadia Discovery Group, and GNP regarding the BNSF corridor. And as the BNSF corridor runs through the middle of Houghton, whatever happens in it will immensely affect our neighborhoods. And I personally invite all of you to attend it too, even though I'm not on the commission, but just so that, you know, we get as many people from the Houghton involved. Mm-hmm. I just am advocating for getting everybody involved who can to give opinions.
Where's the meeting?
Oh, it's right here.
Or here, okay.
This Wednesday at 6 o'clock.
Here in the council chambers?
Yep.
Okay. So that we don't end up having too many of us attend, anybody who definitely is or definitely is not able or willing or planning to attend?
I will not be able to attend.
Yeah. It'd be great to have that perspective represented for the neighborhood update.
Oh, I'll try. But I have a meeting tomorrow night.
I'm planning on going. I unfortunately have a business meeting scheduled prior, so I will be late.
Yeah.
But I will be able to show up and glean what I can from my late arrival.
Yeah, I think you still get good foot. Even if you're late, I think it'd still be worth. Elsie, you gonna be able to join us?
I don't think so.
Don't think so. Okay.
There is a slim chance I might be able to come late.
Okay.
If oh, goody. Come at all. So I'll try.
All right.
Me too. But I'm not promising anything.
Okay. I have a meeting that night, so I can't. So I'm glad to hear that at least, if we can get at least a couple of us there, I'd be great, I think. So.
What time does it start?
Six?
Six, yes. I've got a meeting that goes till six on Mercer Island, so.
Yeah.
If I can get here, okay. I can get here.
All right. Our next item is the special presentation from the Transportation Commission.
Thank you. My name's Tom Neer. Thanks for having us here today. It's me and David Godfrey. And we wanted to talk to you some about something the Transportation Commission has been working on for a period of time. Before I start, though, I've been asked to tell you that you're more than welcome to come, obviously on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. The BNSF piece, if you're interested in that, it starts at 7 o'clock. Yeah, not at 6 o'clock. Mm. Yeah.
And, oh, I won't be that late then.
Yeah. And it'll all be on video, as you know, we normally film these things. Yeah. And also the city webpage apparently has a lot of new information concerning the East Side Rail Corridor, if you have interest in background information and at all. Okay?
Great.
Now, the Transportation Commission has been working on a tool to help us to analyze the many issues that come before us. And over the last 6 months or so, maybe 8 months, we've developed a document called Transportation Conversations, and meant to be a repository of all of our best thinking, things that we believe about different issues around the city and around the region. And it began in that fashion. It morphed a little bit to direct us toward coming up with some principles on which we would operate as we do look at issues around the city and around the region. And we've gone through many discussions about those principles. We've come up with four of them. I think you have a document in your packet.
Yeah.
You may have read them. I wanted to walk through those with you quickly today and get any feedback I can from you. We're still working on them. It's a work in process, and we hope to use these to start to further serious discussion on some major issues. Okay, so let me start off with you. There are four issues, and you can see those in your packet. I'll tell them to you quickly. There's more of a description in there than I'm probably going to give you. The first one's moving people, and the concept behind that is most of our analyses, most of our effort, most of our money has been put into moving automobiles historically. And the Transportation Commission thinks that emphasis should change, or at least there should be a balanced approach to modes of transportation around the city and around the region. And so it is an effort to take the eye off just the car and put it on moving people, however we choose to do that. Okay. The next principle is to be sustainable, and we really apply that to two areas. One's funding. And to be sustainable in funding, we have to think long term. We've thought a lot about building intersections, building roads, building items, but we rarely think about the 50-year life of what we build. And it's gotten us into some financial binds in that we need to maintain these roads that we put together. And we now have a fiscal problem in that as a city, and many cities do. That was probably coming before the financial catastrophe we had in the last couple of years. And it's something that we would like to bake into all our analyses on transportation, that we built something with a 50-year life as a target, and the funding for that 50-year life at least within sight. And so we're not walking into that without knowing where that money may come from to keep these facilities operating. The other part of sustainability is environmental sustainability. So here we have issues of global warming, where we've talked, governmental agencies have talked about reducing emissions, greenhouse gas emissions. We haven't done much about it yet. We've talked a lot. We think that it's probably important that we start to bake that into our actual decisions so that we walk ourselves toward, as an example, toward zero emissions. And we are realistic enough to know that we're not going to get to zero emissions anytime soon. But as we build new facilities, we think about that. There are other environmental issues around that as well. There's other types of pollution that our transportation systems develop, and we would pay attention to that. Be an active partner. Now, the city has its views, and BNSF's a perfect one, I suppose. That's very pertinent to you folks and your community. We have a lot of partners around the region who have an interest in the BNSF line. Our principle here is that we think the city, through ourselves, through others, should be very proactive in being part of different organizations and making sure that our views are well known within our city and our directions, our desires, and that we communicate those through those different bodies so that, in fact, we can influence as best we can the decisions that bodies do make that influence Kirkland. Link to land use. This recognizes that transportation and land use are very closely related. And we again would hope that discussions that are had within the city and within our transportation commission take into consideration how transportation is going to affect, or vice versa, how land use proposals and our comp plan as it's designed would affect the kinds of transportation systems we should and need to build to support that land use. So those are the four thoughts that we have, principles that we have, that we are hoping to hang or to use to analyze the different issues that come before the Transportation Commission. Are any questions about those? Any feedback, issues?
Council?
I do have a question. As I glanced through this packet, I grabbed a hold of your principle sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
And you, in your conversation, you broke it down into two parts. One is the financial aspect, and the other is the environmental aspect. And on the financial aspect, you grabbed a hold of the term funding. And so I'd like to know how, either you can comment tonight, or if tomorrow or Wednesday night, if you're going to chat about percentages of budgets in relationship to ridership, percentage of ridership fares, funding the cost versus funds from the different governmental agencies, that sort of thing.
Like Metro's 25%?
Yeah, that sort of thing.
The fare box fund, this kind of thing?
Yeah, in my mind, the sustainability aspect of it, I think, should be discussed in terms of how much is each person paying for their fare, and how much does that actually pay for the overall capacity of the project? I don't really think it's realistic to build something like this and expect that, you know, everybody could pay umpteen dollars for each ticket to pay for the whole thing, but at least to understand the ratios. And if you could talk a little bit about that tonight, that would be great. If not, will you cover it on Wednesday?
I think that's in more detail than we've gotten in our discussions. I understand what you're saying. But we're working in these principles, and we have not yet begun to get into that detail. However, you've read the document in front of you, and we had an example. I suppose that's where you got this. We had an example of a metro conversation that was going on. And I don't know where that actually ended up. David, you know, you get the metro example.
Yeah, I think.
Let me let David see if he can answer the detail on that for you.
The metro example was just.
Could you identify yourself just so?
Yeah, sure. I'm Dave Godfrey, Public Works Department.
Perfect.
The metro example is just a kind of an illustration of how the principles might be applied to, you know, like a question. But I think what you're saying is something like, well, you know, maybe funding should be allocated based on a percentage of the users that use it. Like, if 60% of the trips across 520 in the morning are transit, then, you know, 60% of the dollars to improve it should be in transit, that kind of thing? Or are you talking more about fare recovery, like Tom mentioned?
I think overall, I'm talking about all of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because in my mind, I mean, you have to expend a certain amount of money to build an infrastructure, and then you have to maintain the infrastructure.
Right.
So you need to look at, you know, if this is something that's decided to happen, what do the fares cover? Does it cover all the infrastructure implementation, or does it only cover the maintenance of the
No, I think we would agree with that needs to be discussed, and in essence, this fiscal sustainability would say, in our analyses, that you'd need to answer that question now. You need to answer, you need to basically understand how you're going to fund this thing over 50 years.
Right.
Don't build it until you kind of know where that money's going to come from, because you're going to have to get it. And if you're going to be building something that's going to break the back of the public coffers, you know, that's not acceptable. Break the back of the individuals trying to ride this, and it's going to make this a catastrophe, then don't build it. So, I mean, that would be the idea. You got to basically know where the revenues are going to come from to fund this infrastructure that you're going to build. So I think it answers your question to a degree. I don't have the specific answers, because I'm not going to try to really answer that right now, but I understand what you're saying. And that would be applied, that concept would be applied to a rail line going down 405 if they ever got to that kind of thing. Well, who's going to pay for it and how? It apply to 405 hot lanes if they're trying to do that. Is it fiscally sustainable? You're going to build it. How are you going to pay for it? What are you going to do with the money? Where is the money going to come from? Yeah. So I think I don't want to get into great detail because we're really just working through the principle that this stuff has to be, at least you have to have sight of how you're going to pay for this. And that has to be acceptable before you build this. Yeah. Makes sense. Build whatever it is you intend to build. Yeah.
I have a question. Because I'll have to admit I didn't read this very thoroughly, and now I'm confused.
Sure.
I understand how Kirkland could build bike lanes, and I understand how Kirkland could support transit centers and things like that, but I'm not exactly sure what type of infrastructure you're talking about. I mean, are you talking about Kirkland running its own bus system or something?
No. Let me take it down to a simple, like a more simple thing. We build roads, and even now we don't know how we're going to reseal them and repair them because we don't have the money. So why build the road? What is it that caused us to build that road? Back then we built it because we had the money and we were doing some development. But no one said, how are we going to pay to keep it around for 50 years? So we kicked that can down the road, and here we are. So the idea is that these things that we do that that build infrastructure for transportation, let's give thought to how we can fiscally support that over the long haul and not just build it and walk away from it and let somebody 20 years down the road figure out whether to get the money to fix it. Yeah, because these things break down, they erode, they deteriorate. Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah, I'm not talking about building a rail line through the city.
Okay,
on the issue of partners, we do have issues of rail transportation one day. Where is it going to be? Does the city even want it? What are we going to do with BNSF? Is that a trail? And how are we going to want that to function for people as a modal transportation to move around? And all that has to be fiscally responsible in how that's built and put together and supported.
Yeah, I get it. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to confuse. It is a work in process document, so there are things that we are moving around to. So, anybody else
Another
have
question?
A question?
Anybody else? I've got a few, but I don't want to usurp anybody's opportunity. Are you starting from scratch on this, or is this? did you have some starting point for this document?
No. The committee had an offsite, the commission, and came up with these.
This is all original work, though, is what I'm asking? Or did you have any kind of a template that you were working from?
No.
No other
this is all
organizations that had...
No, we're not copying anybody else, as far as I know. This
I didn't mean it that way, but I just was curious.
But you can. I mean, frankly, I'm going to say copies. I know you weren't accusing us of anything, but
no.
I haven't seen this approach before.
Okay.
Maybe David's seen it.
I guess we looked at some other documents and maybe gave us some inspiration.
Okay, so really. that's kind of what I was. And what other documents?
There's a document.
You probably want to speak in the mic there, Dave.
Sure, I'm sorry. There's a document that's put out by a joint policy group. The name escapes me now. Kind of a congressional think tank, sort of. Only it wasn't
a
congressional.
Federal?
Yeah, it was a federal. But they just had like a document that talked about funding. And it was just sort of clean and had some, you know, easy-to-read principles behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Not like this.
Okay.
But, you know, I'd say that sort of, we looked at that and sort of inspired by that, but not...
Okay.
I mean, this is kind of our thinking that came from the commission really wanting to say, let's get some principles on which we can build.
I only ask because I know that there's various groups out there that are advocating different means of transportation. There's a transportation choices group that I'm on an email list for that I don't know if you guys have ever seen any of their work, but this is right up their alley. So I don't know. Yeah. And I'm not advocating that you do follow that. I'm just curious if you had that as a starting point. So that's great. Yeah. I'm also curious because we, as a city, engaged in a very extensive non-motorized transportation planning process, 10, 15 years? It's been quite a while, but it was a major effort in the city. How does that fit into what you're doing with this?
Well, I mean, we were here about a year ago. The city council adopted our new active transportation plan. And I remember having a fun and full discussion with you all about that.
Yeah.
So, and the Transportation Commission was kind of in charge of that piece of work also. Yeah.
Okay.
And we're just working through the goals and stuff.
Okay.
So, it hasn't been put through this principal collection at all. Yeah, this is all. Yeah.
So, Tom, does this kind of work together?
The active transportation plan and the principles?
I
mean, no, they're separate animals. Yeah, the active transportation plan is approved, being implemented, being tracked, monitored, and I think it's rolling out pretty successfully. That was a long time in being baked. This is a different overlay that the commission hopes to use to analyze future issues that come at them so that they lay basically their principles onto that. And it makes it easier and more consistent in how we analyze things that come to us. And then the responses that the commission may give may make more sense to people, and we could probably be more productive in letting people know our position on issues.
So would this affect developments or permits if people wanted to build something that was going to require new streets? And
at this point, that'd be real... presumptuous to say that it would. I think the bodies in the city that actually take care of land use and do all of the design reviews and do the planning reviews, that's you already know what bodies those are. This we hope, if we're good at our job in the Transportation Commission, I think we're hoping there will be some body of work that will be useful to the Planning Commission, to yourselves, in your work toward defining what it is the city's going to build. But we will not be in that approval process. I don't see how we're going to even be a side street toward that. We'll just be feeding information into that process. Yeah, does that make some sense?
Yeah, yeah. I guess I'm just not exactly sure how this fits in and how it will be used.
It's all kind of relatively new. The Transportation Commission has been, in my own view, a little sleepy And I think that the Transportation Commission would like to deal with some issues that are maybe more meaty. And now getting some principles under which we could do that, we could probably be more useful to the city and to those that are dealing with planning issues like yourselves in supporting with some good analysis and recommendations or comments on transportation issues and how, for instance, they pertain to land use.
Yeah. So would this eventually work its way into the comprehensive plan?
Real premature, I don't.
Okay, all
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it'd be up to you guys and up to the Planning Commission and the City Council. Yeah. If we did it really, really good, you'd probably say, yeah, we'd like to incorporate some of that. If we didn't do it really well, you'd probably say you wouldn't. So, yeah.
Have you any thoughts at all about how you envision bringing in, you said you want to see a more balanced approach to the modes of transportation, and then there's other references towards moving the environmental impact of the system towards zero and incorporating climate change into the consideration. So these are all lofty goals. How do you envision actually coming up with some means of evaluating and factoring that in?
Well, we're working through making sure we kind of buy off on these principles, that these make some sense, and how and what levers we have as a Transportation Commission to make things happen is a little unclear, frankly, other than vetting issues like there's a BNSF out here, and there's a question of what's going to happen with the Eastern Rail Corridor. Well, you know, we're a good body that could help to vet a lot of public opinion and potentially collate that into various options so that the council and yourselves could look at that. So, yeah. And while we're doing that, we may use these principles to do that analysis. So when we come up with the fact that to be fiscally sustainable, here's what has to happen. You know why we even bothered with that question, because that's one of the principles we would like to have answered as one would make options available to people. Yeah. Does that make some sense to
well,
you? We don't have
yes
a mechanism.
And no. Yeah, I mean, in that it really comes down to saying that you want to consider those things is one thing, but how you actually do it is a completely another thing. And that's the key is how you go about trying to factor those things in. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage you, if you're serious about it, to really come up with some examples of how that's been done in other areas, other cities, counties, states, whatever, countries. But, you know, literally come up with some suggestions on how you can factor that in and then see if other people buy into it.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just saying in theory this is something, because everybody's in favor of, you know, less pollution and, you know, more, you know, all the things you're talking about.
Yeah.
But it's how you go about it. So
well, this is the kind of the next step in our evolution of this tool, is to then start applying it to some issues that we do have in front of the council, the committee. And then out of that would come some hard action items that potentially could be taken by the city.
Okay.
We don't take those action items. We recommend them.
Yeah.
Or we point out the options. So the next step is to get into more detail, more actual things that could be done by the city in order to address some issues in front of us. And we've got three of them that we put on the sheet as possibles. One is the development review process. That's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
we've got funding, which is a problem or an issue for the city. And the last one, I think, was environmental and health. Yeah. So the idea was to take those in and then work through those issues and come up with some recommendations or options for the city that were hardcore options, or not hard. They were actionable options, not
mm-hmm.
dreams. Yeah. And not high-level directional guidance, but real things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we've not done that yet, so I don't have an example for you. Our goal is to get you something concrete to look at.
Okay. Yeah. Well, good luck. Yeah. It's a pretty major undertaking.
Well, yeah, we'll see. I mean, these are broad, big, beautiful, if people like them. But the nitty-gritty work is kind of like everything else you do. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Anything
any
else?
Questions? Great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
By the way, I got to ask you, any relation to Bob Nair?
I'm one of his sons.
That's what I thought. Okay. Well, congratulations. We think very highly of Bob. Okay. So, do you have anything else?
No, I'm just
putting her away. Okay. All right, so with that, we move on to tree regulations. Who's taking lead? Are you? Okay. All right.
Before you tonight is Resolution 2010-3, which is adopting Ordinance 4238 as approved by the City Council on March 2nd, 2010. And the background is that this has been before you before. It was disapproved by the Community Council, discussed at the joint meeting with the City Council, and now it's back again. So if you have any questions.
Anybody have any questions? John?
Just this is a curiosity question on how the document was published and why at this date is there still all the cross-outs and that sort of thing?
That is the official version of the changes is retained. We have to keep track of the changes from the existing code to the new code. Is that what you
mean? Until the new code is completely gone through the process.
Well, it's retained in the file, and the new code will be, of course, without the changes shown. But we bring it forward so that there's no question as we go through the process about what's changing and what's not.
A means of tracking.
Yeah.
I knew that through the whole process, but I meant to ask it actually last time that we voted on this and that in its final form that we voted on why it was still like this. I was just curious. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, I wasn't part of the meeting Gus had, so can you just give me a brief recap of the discussion?
Well, it was very simply that if they would remove that one provision that they had requiring or that until such time as an online permit system is made available at no cost to the applicant having to have a permit. And so with that out, we agreed that that would be acceptable to us. That was our main issue.
Because
we had agreed to
it.
No.
Yeah, that would be well, the top of page 8 or 15 of the document.
Yeah.
5A.
Yeah. And that was basically
without
what we agreed to.
Apply for a tree removal.
Yeah. Okay.
And Rick, I looked at your place, and I did not see a resolution. Did you see it there for signature?
The last page, is that it?
Well, I realize it's in the packet, but we normally give an original to the chair to sign this evening, so I just wanted to, if it's not there, I couldn't find it.
You can have mine if you want.
If you could authorize Rick to sign it at a later date.
We incorporate that in the motion.
Just to cover our bases.
Can I just give him mine and he can sign that for you?
Well, if it has a staple in it.
Doesn't anymore.
Oh, okay. No, it doesn't.
It just has a hole in the left-hand corner.
That's my kind of gal.
Yeah.
Staple?
There's no staple in this.
You know, there's certain paper that we use and so forth. Yeah. So we'll provide a proper
one?
Version for him to sign.
All right.
The official.
Sorry
all right, so would someone care to make a motion?
I move that we vote to approve. Do I say the ordinance or the resolution number?
You
both.
Can say both.
Both.
Why don't you read number one?
Resolution 2010-3?
Two. Mm-hmm. Oh, 2-3, yeah, sorry.
3-3,
yeah.
Yes.
Yep,
approving
sorry.
Ordinance 4238.
Yeah.
The tree regulations.
And?
A second.
And do you want to include in that giving me the authority to sign?
Oh, and giving Rick the authority to sign the official resolution once it is available to him.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Discussion. John?
I do have some discussion. I think it's more of a clarification statement from my standpoint for everyone here. I've really struggled with this document through the course of our discussions about it. And I think the reason for that is that as a design professional, one who uses this document, not on a daily basis, but frequently and in what I do professionally and working with the city, And the second is for sort of my views on what I believe should be incorporated and not incorporated, from how I feel it's my responsibility on the council to be a voice for citizens in the community. And I am actually going to vote for this, to approve this evening, because of the integrated site plan function, which I think is a huge improvement for development standards, which will simplify an awful lot of things. I do believe there are things in here that are going to drive unintended consequences, which is never a good thing. But I think overall it's an improvement from what we had. Through that process, and I know City Council did not give direction to staff to make more than the minor and the moderate changes in the document, I still think with that some language was done to change some things, all of which we talked about. But I do want to say for the record that I find it not very clear that we spend an inordinate amount of time discussing how buildings should look to not block views. We spend a tremendous amount of time currently with the neighborhood groups of Houghton and Lakeview in protecting our views to the lake, which we hold very, very dear. And not only is that discussion not happened in a tree ordinance, it's specifically precluded from this ordinance. And I think that's wrong. If in our Lakeview meetings and our Houghton meetings, much of the topic is the view of the lake, the enjoyment of the lake visually and physically, and there's nothing in our tree ordinances that protects those views, that's wrong. And that's something that I think we need to address very clearly in the neighborhood plans. How do we deal with the views of the lake of this very special part of the city on the hill that we live in? Thank you.
Yeah. Can you clarify the unintended consequences part?
We have talked about those a lot. Examples of that are, I don't think I can. It's a very long conversation, Bill. We have discussed and discussed that. Probably shouldn't get into that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, John. Any other discussion? All in favor of this motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
I was just informed that there's a gold station wagon with their lights on. Anybody?
Gold station wagon.
That's what she said. A gold vehicle?
I guess one good point of that is they won't be on for long.
There are other meetings going on, so.
Okay. Next, we have a follow-up from our joint meeting with the City Council. So, Nancy, do you want to?
Well, a little bit. I did write a brief memo. I itemized some of the notes that I took during the meeting, and there probably are others that you may have taken, but some of the ideas that came out are in the memo that I included in the packet. Also, talking to Rick afterward, he asked if the city attorney and I would look at the planning review procedures that are in your orientation manual that you looked at with the city council, although not in much detail, but maybe as a way to structure your discussion of this. And I did do that, and I can offer a draft with some changes tonight as a beginning point, if you'd like.
Yeah, well, let's at least see what she... Okay. This is something that Robin initiated then? Or
Robin and I talked about it, and then I wrote it up.
Okay.
So...
While you're getting that out, I'll also comment that I spoke with Andy Held. He's current chair of the Planning Commission, although his initial response to me was, well, you know, Rick, I'm not going to be the chair in May. Apparently, the Planning Commission has a long-standing tradition that... people only serve one term, 1 year, as the Planning Commission chair, and then the next most senior person who has not served as chair ascends to the chair's position. And so he said that there'll be somebody else who'll be the chair, and he was going to talk with him. Andy's response was, hey, it makes total sense, and we really should try to work together better. Just as, you know, I went through the procedures that are in our own mm-hmm. manual, and Andy said, yeah, it's a no-brainer in his opinion that we should try to do that more. So he was trying to think through on a joint hearing situation how the deliberation process would work if we had a joint hearing and then we would all deliberate jointly or separately or how that would work. And he said we need to think that through, which yeah. makes sense. But all in all, he was very positive and encouraging on trying to be more efficient in working with them, so that it seems like so often when we have these problems, it's more that the Planning Commission and us don't agree than it is the
right.
Account.
Yeah, it's like with the tree ordinance and with the shoreline master plan, it seemed like if we could have had more group meetings, we could have discussed Maybe. Our issues right there instead of
yeah.
waiting for staff to take it back and get there and then come back. And, you know, I think we had...
So we'll at least explore trying to do that when the issues are appropriate to do that. And then let's see what Robin's got for us.
Anyway, we can go...
Can you just highlight what's changed, what she's proposing as far as changes?
Yeah, I thought I had included on here the track changes version, but I don't see it right now. But anyway, the primary changes occur when you look at conflict resolution on page 2. And currently, the procedures talk about involving attorneys. And I'm looking primarily at the left-hand column, the quasi-judicial projects. the conflict resolution talks about the Houghton Community Council or planning staff determining whether attorneys should discuss any divergence in hearing examiner's decisions. And what we're proposing is to remove mention of attorneys and utilize the chair and the staff to talk about any divergence in direction. And moving on from there, that rather than having attorneys talk about the attorney of the city council and the attorney of the community council talking about the issues, to call a special meeting of the community council, which the chair can do, and then you all can talk about it further at a special meeting if there are areas that need further discussion. So primarily utilizing staff and yourselves to talk about the areas and try to work them through with the city council.
Nancy, is that totally eliminating our, it's still our choice to have a lawyer for some reason if we can't agree, right?
It is, yes. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else have any? So you're starting with the conflict resolution on the HCC and the hearing examiner,
mm-hmm.
right? And we've pretty much operated. I don't think in the past we've involved attorneys so often with a hearing examiner variance, have we? It's been when we have a difference with the city council, and even then it's been very rare, but so
well,
I don't know. It seems like
the, oh no, not the attorney for the hearing examiner.
Talking about the city council attorney and the Houghton Community Council attorney,
right? And the city council attorney is the
city attorney.
And I guess basically what we're saying is that the city attorney could the city attorney's office could represent the city council and the Houghton Community Council.
If
there are diverging.
If
that doesn't sound good.
Well, if the issue is with the hearing examiner's decision, then I could see involving the city attorney. I don't know if the difference is with the city council. I mean, I'm not opposed to having that as an option to talk, see if we can talk through Robin, but I wouldn't limit us to that. I think it's a good starting point to avoid incurring outside fees if you can do it. If that's what Robin's thinking.
Yes, I think she's thinking that if the community council had a particular viewpoint on a condition of approval, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew that that was in disagreement with what the hearing examiner was recommending, that, you know, there could be discussion between staff and the community council, staff meaning the city attorney and the community council, about that,
mm-hmm.
and perhaps crafting new language,
mm-hmm.
and bringing that forward.
Isn't that kind of the way it's been working?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So really what has been on paper is not what we've been doing so much. We haven't been involving the attorneys recently, mm-hmm. or the Houghton attorney as much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it...
So let me get this clear. We've had a public hearing, and the public has weighed in on this, and the hearing examiner has made a recommendation which we then don't agree with, and then you're saying that we would then work with the city attorney to craft new language which the public doesn't...
And staff, yeah.
That what?
And staff, right.
But where does the public piece come in again then if we're drafting new language?
I would think that we would be drafting it with the consideration of the input that we'd had from the public. That's where the public had
right.
There so we couldn't introduce any
information.
No information. Could not do anything that's okay.
All we're trying to do is reconcile between the hearing examiner's recommendations and what we had recommended to the hearing examiner. Yeah.
Conflict resolution.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there's a conflict of interest here. If it's the city's hearing examiner and the city council and the city attorney, and we have a disagreement about the land use item,
mm-hmm.
and it comes right down to push and shove, we need our own attorney.
And that's when we can use our
own. If we can't mm-hmm. work mm-hmm. it out, it would be as a last resort. We would. But I think all we're trying to do is, in the way that the current procedures are written up, it pretty much implies that if we have a disagreement, then the first step is discuss bringing in outside attorneys, mm-hmm. and that's really not the way we operate. It's a last step.
Yeah.
So we need to retain that as an option, and that's one thing I do see is, you know, it's kind of lacking here. You don't really reflect that as an option, and so we should say as a last resort, you know, we need to provide for that.
Okay.
But that we would make every effort to try to resolve the conflict without having to engage outside attorneys.
Makes sense.
Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
It does. The only question that I would have is that if the city attorney is representing us from a legal status in a hearing examiner resolution, conflict resolution, and somehow that separates itself into different thinking between the city council mm-hmm. and the Houghton Community Council, then the city attorney has a conflict of interest.
Right.
That would make total sense, except as I think this works, before the city council gets involved, we are either going to resolve the difference or
we're trying to
not. But I mean, the city council is not even going to be involved in this until it's gone. But by the time it goes to city council, we're past the hearing examiner conflict resolution step.
So we'll be past any opportunity for it to turn into a conflict
with the hearing examiner. Then there's a separate issue as far as if there's a conflict resolution with the city council. See, we can have different recommendation than the hearing examiner. I mean, all we're trying to do is see if there's a way we can come together with the hearing examiner.
So the process is you have a joint hearing, then the examiner goes away, you deliberate. Usually we've been doing it at the same meeting.
Yeah.
And you make a recommendation to the examiner. That goes to the examiner, and then you may not see it, at another meeting before it goes to the city council. So all we're saying is that at that point, if there's something that in the examiner's decision that comes out that looks like it's diverging from what you said, that staff and Rick can talk about it and determine whether or not we should hold a special meeting to maybe craft some language.
To be more proactive and try to resolve the conflict before it goes to city council, mm-hmm. is what you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a final step. It could go to city council,
yeah.
And we can say no.
Right.
Yes, there is always, that is always there.
And we're true. Trying to avoid that as much as possible by trying to resolve.
I realize that. But
yeah.
Well, but. And there are times when the hearing examiner knows some of the legalities that we don't, and so it's not just, so we have to be very careful with
that. Right.
Yeah.
Well, or the hearing examiner rules on the legalities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then, Nancy, if the hearing examiner doesn't agree with what we have to say, then we should be notified immediately so we can fix the conflict before it gets to the city council.
Well, we do receive written notice, mm-hmm. Within 10 days after the meeting or something like mm-hmm. that.
But how many days is it before it goes to the city council?
We have 45 days to get it to the council. So, yes, we would have to act.
We'd have to do something fast, mm-hmm. not just...
No, that's how you resolve conflicts.
Yeah.
So, Rick and staff would talk right away and determine if there should be a special meeting called.
Yeah.
And, but still, there cannot be any contact between Houghton and the city council.
Right.
So that's why we would do it that way.
So when is it considered that there's a divergence? Is it we have a differing opinion as far as findings of fact? Because we could have different recommendations as we have in the past, and mm-hmm. We're never going to be perfectly harmonized. Sometimes we are, but does that mean we've had a divergence if we have a disagreement of recommendation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we would need to try to determine whether or not the difference in the recommendation is great enough that it might cause you to disapprove it.
Yeah.
And if it looks like it might, then what can we do? Mm-hmm. At that point.
I think it sounds good.
It makes sense, other than Nancy doing, you got to be sure and make, you still have to have the provision here for us to consult an outside attorney if all else fails, so.
Definitely, okay. Now, on the right-hand column is the information about legislative items. So those take a different course because the Planning Commission's involved. And mm-hmm. I think actually at the joint meeting there was more discussion about those items than the quasi-judicial.
Right.
So one of the things I heard, and you guys can tell me if you heard differently, is that there was an idea that maybe there should be more joint study sessions with the Planning Commission to try to get to interests early rather than... positions at the mm-hmm. end. I think mm-hmm. that was Dave Ramsey's comment. So that could take the form of joint study sessions or joint public hearing with the Planning Commission, which we haven't done in a long time.
Right.
I mean, that would also be more efficient in cutting down on the number of meetings. They would be big meetings,
mm-hmm.
but so I don't know if the Planning Commission has talked about that. Oh, okay, so Paul's here.
I don't think they have yet, but like I said, I just talked to Andy about it mm-hmm. this weekend, so he was going to talk to the incoming chair, assuming that Andy doesn't convince the council, the planning commission, to change their longstanding tradition on having the chair change every year.
Who's their new chair?
I think we should have that.
And Andy's lobbying to be chair again next year.
Oh, who's in line?
The next most senior member. I mean, that's been their longstanding tradition. You know who, change you know chair every.
That'd be the vice chair, probably C. Ray Allshouse.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Who?
Vice chair C. Ray Allshouse.
Oh, I don't know C. Ray. C. Ray is a great name.
Nancy.
Yeah.
I feel that we should, if we're going to get together with the Planning Commission, it should be the biggest bang for our time, for them and for us, and it should be at the beginning of what the project is going to be, not after they've worked for months and months and months and months and have a half figured out for us to get together. It should be in the beginning when the plans are being made about what's going to be done.
That would be consistent with what some people were saying at the joint meeting, that you would be able to express your interests at that time.
Right. I think it would make
And
a
that would
difference.
Be going into the decision-making process rather than later when some, you know, that's more set already. But I don't know how this can work out, but it could be determined on a project-by-project basis.
Yeah.
The staff planner with the legislative item could go to the Planning Commission meeting or and say, you know, what's a preference, what's a work plan?
Yeah, there may be a couple ways to do that. Like early on would be good. Maybe we have a couple of representatives from the Planning Commission come here, or a couple of representatives from the Hilton Community Council go to a Planning Commission meeting, or maybe you have a joint study session or a workshop. I mean, there's ways to look at this.
Or subcommittees,
yeah,
representatives
from
both groups. A lot of different ways, and you could vary it depending upon the scope of the project.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
And some projects we probably are just fine with coming the way they are. Wastewater,
the less controversial, but although that also gives us more opportunity to be more efficient and handle it and have you guys not have to have the same thing, but whatever's going to work best for you.
But it does mean some people go into meetings on different nights than you're used to.
Yeah.
So on the
they'd come here on our night, wouldn't they?
Yeah, the process is generally it goes to the Houghton Community Council before it goes to the Planning Commission. So I would think they would come on our night.
Yeah. Trying to follow them. Okay.
So under on this sheet I handed out under project initiation on the right hand column, it says the planning staff discusses the project with HCC to learn HCC's desired level of input, and then staff discusses with the Planning Commission HCC's desired level of input and develop a work plan to incorporate.
That sounds good.
Well, what you have is exactly what we had before. It's just we've not done it. That is the exact procedure we had in the past.
Yeah, I guess it is.
So all we're saying is now we're going to start doing, or at least trying.
Be more deliberate.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So you've got a project tonight. Comprehensive plan amendments.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay, so any other questions, comments, thoughts to?
So I'm thinking about the next steps on this. I guess we need to go to the Planning Commission and talk to them about it, and then maybe take it to the City Council at a future meeting.
Or report on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Could be in a reading file or just a report.
Mm-hmm. They might appreciate hearing from one of you about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, I'm throwing that out there, but they seemed real interested in further communication opportunities at the joint meeting. So,
has there probably hasn't been any further discussion about any kind of a commitment for a meeting a year or a meeting every other year or whatever instead of, I mean, what?
Two times a year would be better.
Two times a year? I don't know. Their schedules.
Yeah, they're so
especially since on the list that we got it. it had whole joint meetings twice. Got to meet twice a year. Yeah. You know, it's first on the list and fifth or sixth on the list.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it had some importance, I mean, honestly.
Well, I think they are looking at the frequency of their study sessions. I think they may be making some changes. So we'll have to report back on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you, Nancy, for your extra work for this.
Okay. Yeah. No problem.
Okay. And finally, we don't have Joan. Are you going to sub for Joan?
Yeah, I'll be Joan tonight.
Okay. Joan, what do you have for us tonight?
Well, for your reading pleasure, actually, this is our annual comp plan update process. Yeah. This year, it's pretty light. Yeah. We have about six topics that we will be looking at, but most of those are fairly minor in nature. And a lot of those don't involve Houghton as well, but we've listed those half a dozen topics in your packet, mostly some map corrections, some issues dealing with annexation to make sure we're at least moving along that way and being consistent with our references, a rezone for Snyder's Corner, which was taken into the city last year. Some housekeeping amendments, and probably the main thing is our CIP, CFP, which also will be fairly minor this year because we don't have a lot of money and we're not doing a major update for a couple of years because of the annexation and a number of issues. So there's not a lot of substantive issues here. We have identified some meeting dates, and we're wondering if we need all those meeting dates. So there's something we can combine, as we just talked about, or jointly, or eliminate. Depending on the nature of things. So if you want to look at that and maybe suggest some ideas, we can then talk to the Planning Commission about that and see where we go. But again, we don't see any major policy initiatives this year. You did hear about the transportation conversations. We're not sure the timing of that yet. So that could be a major one, obviously. But when that happens, we don't really know. So other than that, that's where we are.
Well, this could... I would think could certainly be something that we would only need to have one public hearing, not two.
Would you want a joint hearing with the Planning Commission, for example, or would you not have a study session, have just one courtesy hearing?
I don't know that we...
I mean, are we talking about the shoreline?
I don't know if we need a courtesy hearing. It's not going to affect Houghton, really.
I don't think we need to have a hearing just to have a hearing, unless there's something that's considered, you know, controversial that is apt to be of concern to, special concern to Houghton residents. Right. I don't see the point of having a hearing.
So maybe at the study session we can look at that and see the specific amendments that are being considered and make a call at that point.
Yeah.
And then let's either cancel or try to explore a joint hearing for some.
Yep.
If need be. If it's really if there's nothing controversial, let's not even waste time with it. I mean,
we can find something to.
Oh, you know us so well.
Trees in the shoreline area, blocking views. How does that sound?
That'll get us going. Okay.
But that sounds fine. Yeah.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I just ask a question. It's probably a curiosity question, but the reclassification of the maps that has transportation and pedestrian and whether roads or arterials or that, is there a material change in how we classify those things or the change? And I looked at that and I thought, wow, why are we changing all this?
No, only if there's been some updates in the past couple of years that we haven't reflected in that, and then to show the boundaries of the annexation area, generally speaking.
So, okay, mm-hmm. Annexation area.
But yeah, I think we'll do a major update to our maps when we do the full GMA comp plan update and 2012 to 2014. Then we'll really incorporate everything within that and look at all the projects, for example, and the level of service standards. So that'll be a big effort beginning in 2012.
So outside of the annexed area, with the proposed sort of big scope changes to 520 and access to the bridge and that sort of thing, are the arterials that are running through Kirkland north-south going to change designations at all?
I don't think so. I have nothing that we're talking about from that standpoint.
Okay.
And 520 actually is outside the city limits, so that really doesn't.
Well, but what happens out there does affect the city.
Right, but we don't have a functional classification for that, or it's not part of the city's map per se.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions? Okay.
Great.
Thank you. And I'm guessing there are no other administrative reports.
Tonight.
Well, with that. I
just had one quick thing. I realized, yes, I was 4 minutes late today, and you speedily must have approved the minutes before I got here.
Yes.
It's my distinct recollection that I was not present at the December meeting.
Oh, my gosh.
Yet my name appears numerous times as having voted and been here.
Yeah.
When my dad was in the hospital, and I'm pretty sure I emailed and said that I was not going to be able to be here. If I happen to show up, I... we'll have to go back and check my record.
One of them actually mentioned
audio might have some proof.
Yeah, I think they specifically, well, maybe it was another meeting.
Oh, that's a different one.
Yeah.
That I came, it recorded that I did show up, and I do remember that one. I was here then.
You were.
But for the December 14th meeting, that was right.
You'd be voting here.
I know. Well, they were all unanimous votes, so I'm guessing that it just, you know, there was no no's, so that was assumed that if I was here, I voted yes.
Well... I'm glad that can we just let the record show that even though we did approve this, can we,
yes,
everybody agree that if Laura really wasn't here and we can verify it from the tapes, that we can correct the minutes and get the record correct?
Check that initial roll call and see if there's a yes when my name is called. That would be great.
Or, yeah, or if you hear your melodic voice during the meeting somewhere. So, okay.
Yeah.
With that, meeting adjourned. To where?
Thank
where
you for
where
coming.
Are we adjourning to?
Thank you, Georgina.
See you at the next meeting.
See you on the 30th.
Bill's choice tonight.
I have to go home.
Bill, you lame-o.
I have work to do.
Get off mics.
We all do. Part of your mission in being on this is to foster a relationship with your fellow council members.
Take care, Elsie.
Just one beer.
Take care.
Come on, Bill.
It's good for you.
It's good for you.
Bill.
Oh, my God. Speaking of beer on
you know
St. Patrick's Day, David and I went to the little Greek place on Central Way.
St. Patrick's Day, you went to the Greek place.
Yes,
okay.
Life's a bit.
Which is right across the street.
No, we all have our demands.
Right.
The lines to get into the Wild Rover went all the way back to Zocca Coffee.
You don't get that many opportunities.
And they were there
the meeting is out.
Yeah.